for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, December the 31st, 2014, Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Judge or Be Judged or Be Condemned.
Well, Lord, we give you praise this morning. You've been awesome, Lord. You've been awesome here, Lord. Praise God. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's all you, Lord. We give you glory. Thank you for the harmony, the unity, the peace here, Father, the love. Thank you, Lord. We ask your help this morning in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, it's always so good to come and meet new friends. And the body of Christ. Oh my, the body of Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. And you think of some that have been here before, you may never see them again in this life. Praise God. But we can see them again in heaven. All right, this morning at the close here, we'll have communion, the Lord's Supper. But and so what I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about is from 1 Corinthians 11:17. This is what passage of scripture I usually use when we have communion. But I want us to see some things here, and the title the Lord gave me is Judge or Be Judged or Be Condemned. Judge or be judged or be condemned. Three levels there. Now, and we're not talking about judging others. We're talking about judging ourselves. We're not talking about, as the scripture says, compare he that compares himself to others not wise. But we need to compare ourselves to the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's so easy if you, we can always find someone that's meaner than we are, that's worse than we are, that's less than we are. You know, that's not hard to do. As to, in order to justify our own selves. What did the man in the temple, he said, I thank God I'm not like him, you know, justifying himself by comparing himself. And that's not wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to begin with verse 17. Now, in this that I declare to you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. What a terrible thing, the church comes together not for the better, but for the worse. And that can involve a lot of things.
Yeah.
If there's not truth being preached there, if God's not being honored there, if glorified there, or if there's contention or dissension in that church, whatever, not for the better but for the worse, and that's the condition of this church. You know, I've heard some say that, that church was such a spiritual church. And the gifts of the Spirit operating and so forth, but look how carnal they were. As some kind of an excuse, well, let's don't have the gifts and so we won't be carnal. That is so silly. You know, first of all, verse 18, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there are divisions among you and I hardly believe it. That's always an indication of the flesh operating. They're knowing each other after the flesh. That's what that is. Verse 19, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That's an interesting statement. God is going to let people show out. You understand? He's going to let people show out so that they can be exposed for what they are. And if you didn't know, when I first went to Peerless, I'm going to tell you, you know what Peerless means? It means without equal. That's what it means. But anyway, make you feel a little better about being there, I guess. But so when I first went there, I told you that the women ran that church. And I'm not being ugly. There's sometimes no man there, too. You know, so the women have to take up the slack. That's just what they have to do. And it's okay. And I thank God for that. There are a lot of churches would have folded if some women hadn't stepped up and kept that thing together. Praise God. But So there was one lady in particular, and she was the assistant pastor, the youth leader, the secretary treasurer, the song leader, and whatever she was. Well, I knew that they had run the pastor before me off. I mean, they ran him off. And so I'd been there a while, and I worked on the job, full-time on the job, so I didn't need their money, as if there was some, but I didn't need their money. First church I pastored, I paid them to pastor, be the pastor. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you might know what I'm talking about. You're paying the bills. It's your money, you know. And but anyway, the first time I got paid for being a pastor, I felt so guilty. I thought, oh my goodness, you're not supposed to. But, and it's, for me, a pride thing. When I was, in Bible school, and, I was working in a grocery store in Dallas, and a lady from the church came in and gave me an envelope, said, this is for you, for your Bible school bill. Well, I went back and opened up, it's $200. Now, that's a lot of money in the 1960s. That's a lot of money. They had three kids. I'm so full of pride, you know. I said, oh man, I can't accept this. I took it to the pastor and asked him to give it back to her. That was so foolish on my part. You know what I did? I robbed her of a blessing. It was nothing but pride. I had to learn a lesson, and I had to quit. And you know when I quit, you know what I owed? $200. $200 when I quit. And God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? $200. Well, you have to learn to receive. And it took, I was there, and there was everything we were going to do. They didn't, I mean, just buck up, you know, and I saw they had about $1,800 in their checking account, and I said, well, you need to take some of that and put it into savings and get some interest off of it and then operate, you know, out of the rest of it. Well, in time, their checking account went down with that, and they got all upset. What they didn't realize is savings was going up, you know. That's just their thinking. Well, I had this little radio program, and I told them I'd pay for it. Well, finally, the secretary, now, I cannot figure out who's running the show. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Who is behind the whole thing? And so I told them I would pay for it. Well, then the secretary treasurer comes. She's all nervous, upset. Oh, Brother Pinson, Sister So-and-so told me when you asked for a check for that radio program not to give it to you. And I knew right then who, I found out who was running it. She was behind the scenes, see, always behind the scenes, but she was having all those other women doing what she wanted them to do. Now, it took that, that's what I'm saying is it took that for her to be manifested. And God will let some people act up, do some things so that they can be manifested. How are you going to know sometimes? Jesus, in the book of Mark, the first miracle, he goes in the house of God, the synagogue, and what happens is a demon man starts manifesting in there. I know who you are. You came to, you know, torment us for our time and all this. It's interesting that I don't know how long that man went there. He might have been one of the deacons in the church. I don't know. He's a big man, you know. Nobody knew what he was until the Holy Ghost showed up in Jesus. And then the devil manifested himself. I told you we had a camp for 13 years. I tell you, the more the Holy Ghost moved, the more the devil showed up. Honestly, the more he showed up. I mean, those kids, oh, they're seeing stuff up in the sky, you know. And I mean, when the Holy Ghost had moved in that, you know, that kind of thing would start happening. First time I ever cast out a devil was because there's a girl over there laying on the ground, and Brother Pinson, come over here, we don't know what to do. And she's over there, she was like that, and couldn't talk, and just drawn up, and I said, whoa, you know. Well, there's the leader of Team Challenge for our area was there, and I said, go get him. He'll know what to do. He came over there, and he started and said, bye. And he took off. I got a lesson in casting out demons. I did right there. And I learned one thing. If they don't want it to come out, you're not going to have a whole lot of success of getting it out. But so I'm dealing with the Lord, showing me what to do, and finally she couldn't talk. And I said, tell that thing to go. Tell it to go. And so finally, in the process of time, and she was able to tell it to go, and it went, and she was okay. Well, we had this midnight hike. It wasn't midnight, but we call it that, you know, go down the spooky road and all that, have fun. And they said, well, can't she go? And I thought, well, she's delivered. I guess she can go. They didn't get far down that road. Here they come, Brother Pinson, come. She's laying in the middle of the road. We can't do anything with her. And so I went up there and worked again, you know, and she was free. And then the next morning in the chapel service, I'm up there speaking, and I look back there, and she's doing it again, sitting in the seat, you know. And I don't want the devil to make a spectacle.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus didn't allow that.
Right.
He made them shut up and behave.
That's right.
And so I told everybody, bow your head, and I looked back there, and I said, tell it to go away. Tell it to leave. And she did, and she's okay. Well, she had come with the church, and when the pastor got there, I explained the situation to him, and I said, now she's going to need some help. He looked at me like I landed from Mars. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. He didn't want to be any part of it, you know. Anyway, I'm just saying, the more God moves, the more the devil is going to manifest himself. And I need to tell you this. We had a black lady that was one of our featured speakers many times. Lois Martin was her name. Awesome woman of God. And humble, but awesome woman of God. And it was the last, the devil always likes to show up at the last, you know, where you can't correct what he's done. It's the last service right before we're to leave. And so this woman back here, and I knew her, she stood up, just as Sister Morgan came up to preach and said, I've got a word from God. And I'm stupid, I let her come up there. And because I'm just learning, I was young, and she came up there, and after 30 minutes of her rambling about we didn't know what, I finally got the courage to tell her to sit down.
Yeah.
To sit down. And so, but it was just almost too late. You know, it was just, I didn't know. I let the devil do his business.
Yeah.
We were having a youth rally one time with this same Sister Morgan. Preached such an awesome message. And so, can I say this? You got to understand back then in East Texas, there's a lot of prejudice. And the pastor almost didn't let me have her come because she was black and he didn't know how his people would respond. But he did. After that service, guess who was having to be at his church? He was, praise God. And The kids are coming to, I mean, they're coming, they're responding, and this guy runs up, and he's a youth leader in one of the churches, and he says, I have something to say. I just believe God wants to heal somebody. That's not what God was doing. God wouldn't, that's not what he was saving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Totally distracted off course.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just talking about the fact that God allows some things. Don't get scared of God allows some things so that we can find out who's real and who's not real. And so that scares me. I don't know if I can handle it. God will help you handle it. God will help you handle it. Praise God. So going on here. Now, verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. You can just see the picture there. Now, when I was growing up, they had the family reunions, you know, our churches had dinner on the grounds, all that. And everybody spread it out, and we put ours all on a table in the fellowship hall. You come by and get what you want. But see, back then, this family over here had their food, and that family over there had their food. You know what I'm saying? And some of them had some food, and some of them didn't have much to eat. And this is a mess in this church. This one over there, you know, here they come, they got more money, they got this big awesome meal and all this, and somebody over there barely have anything to eat, and they're over here, and he said they're eating and too much, and they're getting drunk, and in the house of God. In the house of God. And, so, he said, what? Do you not have houses to eat in? Do you despise the church of God? How? How do they despise the church of God? And humiliate those who have nothing. That's how they would despise the house of God. Humiliate those that have nothing. And that goes not just for, you know, James talked about that. He said, you tell the rich man to sit here and the poor man sit at my footstool. He said, or you become judges of men. And he talked about prejudice and how God is a sin. Prejudice is a sin. I don't care if it's racial. I don't care if it's along the lines of money or position in life or whatever it is. In the house of God, it has no place.
Amen.
Now, he said, you humiliate them. You despise the house of God. What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received of the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. Betrayed. Have you ever been betrayed? I have. I know how it hurts. It cuts. I mean, it's one of the most cutting things is when someone betrays you. And I've been betrayed in the courtroom. I've been betrayed, especially when they betray you before the world, like Judas did to the Lord. And when he had given thanks, Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he drank, saying, this cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. You show the Lord's death till he comes. Now, I've heard people getting healed during communion, a lot of things, and wonderful things can take place. I've heard of seeing people be baptized in water, come up baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, you know. Wonderful things can happen. Now, wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I think we need to be very careful. I know we need to be very careful. This is a holy, holy sacrament of the church, ordinance of the church. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that cup, that bread, and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, there can be a lot of discussion about why. Is where was the sin in this? Where was the wrong in this? But if we go back up and we look, discerning the body of the Lord, shaming, humiliating some of the part of the body of Christ. I believe he's talking about here discerning the Lord's body, discerning what his body's about, discerning the body of Christ, the church. Verse 34, this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, here's the first part I want to do. There's two things here I really want the Lord impress me to bring out to you. And number one is in verse 31 part. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, we ought not to have, I'm saying some things we don't know, but for the most part, we ought not to have somebody come and correct us. We ought to be judging ourselves. We ought to be checking ourselves. But you can't do that unless you get full of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, when you do something, as I said, when you reach out to touch something you shouldn't, the Holy Ghost is going to correct you. David Wilkerson, in a sermon I heard him preach one time, he said he picked up the phone to call someone, and the Holy Spirit said to him, you put that phone down or it's over with you. You put it down now, or you don't make that call, or it's over with you. He says, none of your business what that phone call was about. We all got our own things. But the Holy Ghost won't let you get by with anything. Well, you say, well, there's a lot of people getting by with a lot of things because the Holy Ghost is not operating there. It's the only way I can say it. We can sear our conscience over.
Yes.
We can harden our hearts. We can do a lot of things, and you just have to understand that. But I tell you, we serve a God. If we'll preach truth in that church, if we'll preach truth, if we'll stand for truth, truth will separate, you know, the goats from the sheep. Truth will separate.
Yes.
You don't have to. I know a certain person that it's all. He came from a ministry that they're big on discipline. And he thinks he's there working with us, and when something's not going right around there, he thinks I need to discipline him. I need to correct him. I need to go get him. You know, I said, brother, I want to tell you something. I've been doing this. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I know something here. I know one thing. Lay hands on no man suddenly. I have messed up so. One time a lady, they were attending the church, and this was many years ago in our old church building. It was full, and she'd been somewhere, and she stood up and she said, "Everybody in here is saved." And then she starts saying, "You don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Well, we're assembly of God, you know, we believe that you do. That's a sign. I mean, I believe in speaking in tongues, but she doesn't believe in it. She doesn't speak in tongues. Well, it was during a testimony service, and the little lady that was leading the testimony got all nervous. I saw she was. I said, "Will you go sit down?" And so I laid hands on that woman suddenly. I got the Bible, and I started refuting everything she said. I played right into the devil's hands. I want you to know I did. And so she stands up and starts arguing with me from the floor. I asked her to sit down. She won't sit down. And we lost half the church that night. Because the thing is, he said, "You let the tares alone. You pull them up, you'll pull some wheat up with them." And I did. I pulled some wheat up that night. Well, I'll tell you the rest of the story. After a little while, she falls down the floor. She straightens her dress, takes her Bible, and puts it right here. Well, the dear ladies in the church, they get excited and start, "Oh, praise God, you know, God's touching her." No, God's not touching her. And she married her husband about this tall, you know, so I'll be careful. He gets down, kneels down beside her. And then women get around, they start, and all I know to do, I know the script says, "No man can call the Lord except by the Holy Ghost," so I'm going to get in there and see if she can say, "Well, he's the Lord." Well, she gets, and then after a while, she starts speaking in a tongue. Oh, they really, I mean, they're dancing and shouting, "She's got the Holy Ghost." I said, "No, she's not got the Holy Ghost. I don't know what she's got, she's got the Holy Ghost." Well, how do you know that, brother? Well, my spirit didn't bear witness, but they thought she did. Well, here's the thing. When she walked out the door, she smiled and shook hands and said, "I'm praying for you, Brother Benson." And I said, "Yeah, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. There's something there." But so I'm telling him, I said, "Look, I've learned not to lay hands on any man suddenly. I could tell you other instances and things, but I know this." And I told him, I said, "If I preach truth from that pulpit, those that don't want to receive truth in time, they'll get up and leave. They'll go. They'll go away for the most part." Now, so truth is your number one weapon. That's to keep that church clean and keep it pure, is to have truth preached in that church. Now, he said, "If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Are you judging yourself? The second step is, there's three levels or three steps here, and they all are going, it's going a downward spiral. Number two, but when we're judged, why are we judged? Because we wouldn't judge ourselves. We wouldn't judge ourselves, so God judges us. That's the chastening of the Lord. It comes in then. If we don't want to read the Word, we don't want to obey the Holy Spirit, in other words, we don't want to judge ourselves and correct things, then He is going to chasten us. I tell you, there's a lot of chastening going on that doesn't have to go on if we would judge ourselves. God's not saying, "I just wonder who I can chasten today. I just can't wait to get to it," you know. He doesn't take pleasure in that. Any parent in here, you know, my parents told me that. "This hurts me worse than it hurts you, yeah," you know. But then you become a parent and it's the truth.
Yes.
I mean, unless you've got some kind of problem, you don't want to spank your children and inflict pain, you know. And I know God doesn't want to, but when we won't, listen to me this one, when we won't judge ourselves, we force Him to do it. If we're His child, He's not chastening those that are not His. You read that Hebrews chapter 12. He's not chastening the neighbor's kids. Just His. And if we're without chastisement, we're not even His child.
Amen.
Now, but when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord. That's what happens. Oh, praise God. That we should, and the third step is, not be condemned with the world. We can judge ourselves and stop it right there. Correct the situation. Okay? If we won't do that, then here comes the chastening of the Lord. If we won't respond to that, what's going to happen next? We're going to be condemned with the world. What do you want? I said, what do you want? Do you want to judge yourself and make it easier on yourself? Or do you want God to have to get in there and work on you? And he said it's grievous. And you're going to have to be healed when it's over. You're going to have to let yourself be healed. Now, I want to look here in, Revelation chapter 2. Did you know God gives space for us to judge ourselves before he judges us? I believe that's part of in 2 Peter 3 and 9, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but his long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is so merciful, but people presume upon the mercy of God. And they push it too far. You know, we push it too far. Well, God, lightning didn't strike me when I did that, so I guess, you know, God's not really paying attention, or it's okay with him, or God made me this way, or something. No, he's long suffering. Revelation 2:18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has his eyes like to a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works, and your charity, or charity is love in action, and service, and faith, and your patience, and your works, and the last to be more than the first. I tell you, this church has got it together. Wouldn't you say? This is a powerful church. This church you want to be part of. But here it comes. 20. Notwithstanding, see, they wouldn't judge themselves. And I'll tell you, just like the church of Corinth that knew this man was going into his mother-in-law, whatever she was, they knew it, wouldn't do anything about it. He said, you're puffed up with pride. You won't do anything about it. This church at Thyatira, the same thing. They knew this is going on, but they wouldn't do anything about it. And it's the leadership wouldn't do anything about it. Now, I'm going to have to say, I can't listen to everybody that comes running tattling to me about somebody. When our Christian school used to be very large, we had a lot of students there that had a lot of problems. And if I had to be gone, I almost couldn't even leave the school. I mean, the thing, just chaos, you know. And we had 107 students. And we had teachers that had their own agenda. You understand what I'm saying? Doing their own thing. And I began to grieve over the whole thing. And thank God he whittled that thing way down. But big's not always better. Well, if I went to town, I had to go or whatever. When I got back, I'd always have somebody waiting on me right there by the parking lot. Brother Vincent, did you know what so-and-so has done? And I'm reactionary. They had me worked up. I almost, you know, my face is red. I told you, I'm going to get them. Well, I'd get in there and I'd get them. And then I'd hear the rest of the story and I'd be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed. Well, so notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. Because you allow or permit that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess. A lot of people call themselves something. And praise God, I know here for over a year now I've been coming to Lake Hamilton. I see that there's people come through here looking for a place to do things that you know that, so they're not right, and they want to come. They bring their agenda, but there's some pretty tight control on this place. Thank God there is. And calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now you can think that's spiritual fornication if you want to, but I believe it's a physical thing because they're eating things sacrificed to idols. You say, how could that be happening in the church? Well, how was that man doing what he was doing in the church in Corinth, you know? There's stuff going on, folks. There's stuff going on. And, it could be from the past to now. There's stuff going on. And, one time, I think it's Brother Clendenin said it could have been Dave Wilkes, and those were my two favorite. But when I say favorite, I listen to them and learn from them. But, said that there's enough, I think it's Brother Clendenin said there's enough stench in the church to make a turkey buzzard hold his nose. I think as David Wilkerson said, if God pulled back the cover on what's going on in the church, it'd be awful.
Oh my God.
And people doing these things. Now sometimes as a pastor, you know stuff's going on. You know it is. And I've been criticized because I didn't do something about it. Well, I have news for those people. I'm hearing from God. And God's telling me when to touch something and when not to touch it. And I have, yes, I knew some things were going on. But I knew what God told me to do. I know there's one person in particular that had a position in the church and wasn't doing right. And if I told you, you'd go, oh, you know. But anyway, I knew that. But God said, leave them alone. You know, if I had, they probably would have been lost forever. But because I was patient like God's patient, and I was merciful, and I was listening to God, today that person is serving God in a mighty way.
Amen.
Because I waited on God. The devil will stir you up to touch stuff you shouldn't be touching.
Yeah.
And trying to correct things that you don't have any business correcting. God knows. Look at this. The Lord knew that Judas was going to betray him.
Yeah.
He knew he was stealing from the back.
He did.
But he didn't call a meeting and say, you're fired, you're out of here. He let him go. I read about a missionary named Praying High. And he got in a lot of trouble because he prayed, wasn't studying the Indian languages in India. But he knew what God wanted him to do. One time he was supposed to speak and he was down on his knees praying. And so they, well, okay, so we'll send some more horses and, okay, finally somebody went and tapped and said, hey, buddy, you gonna preach or not? And, but his servant, he had a servant there, Indian native servant in India, that was stealing his clothes. And he'd go buy new clothes, he'd steal them, take them to sell them, he'd buy new clothes. They said, aren't you gonna have him arrested? He said, no, I'm not gonna have him arrested. There's just a lesson to learn there, folks. There is a lesson. Smith Wigglesworth one time in South Africa was holding a meeting, and he was in his room praying, and the committee that put this together didn't like the way he was doing things. And so they appointed one or two to go up there and knock on the door, and we're going to talk to him. We're going to get him straightened out. Isn't that interesting? They hadn't raised anybody from the dead, but they're going to straighten out the man of God that's raised 7 people from the dead, you know. But anyway, so they go up and knock on the door, and they come back, and he won't come to the door. And finally, he comes down, and they're mad. And they said, who are you talking to? We know you're talking to somebody, but you wouldn't come to the door and talk to us. He said, I was talking to God, and he's more important than you. Praise God. Well, anyway, now, so this is going on in the church. But he said, you're allowing it. There comes a point where you don't allow it. And he said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I gave her space, and she wouldn't. I gave her space to judge herself, and she wouldn't do it. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. What a merciful God. He's saying that to someone this morning. God is saying, I won't do this if you repent. I'm giving you space to repent. If you repent, I won't expose you. I'm convinced that a lot of those that are being exposed is because God gave them space and they wouldn't repent. And the only thing he could do now is expose them. That's the only thing he could do is expose them because he loves them. We've had some high-profile ministers on TV in the past. You know some of the names. And they were exposed. And oh, how awful, you know. No, how wonderful that God loved them enough to expose them so they could repent. Now, what are we going to, what's our attitude going to be towards them? Are we going to forgive them? I think God forgives them. We better forgive them.
Amen.
Well, they're going to have to sit in the corner for a while and be on probation or whatever. I have my personal opinion about that. The young man, I brought him here two camps ago. And he was in ministry for 11 years there. He ran off with a young lady. And later on they got married and got children. But he was like assistant pastor. Well, they made an example out of him, demoted him, and he's back to the bottom. And he tried for a while, but then he just couldn't do it anymore. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians to this church? He said, okay, that's enough. It's enough. You bring him back in and reassure your love to him, lest he be overwhelmed with so much sorrow. And what he said, and the devil gained an advantage of you as a church. So, well, what if they'll do it again? There was a minister in our section, he was so articulate. And you wonder why he's pastoring a fairly small church. Well, why is he pastoring that small church? This man got it. I mean, I got no sense to recognize somebody's got it. And you know, I've got more than I've got. And one of the ministers took me aside and said, you need to know something about him. 30 years ago, he cheated on his wife. And you know, we just got to watch him because he might do it again. You know, if they did it once, they'll do it again. And that bothered me. And I mean, it made me feel worse toward the pastor telling me that than the one that did it.
Yeah.
But then you've got, every time you see the pastor, you think about what he did. And why do you want to do that? 30 years ago, why do you want to do that? But you know how God helped me? David never did it again. He never did it again. Praise God. So, I believe we ought to give people a chance. Well, they might do this, they might do that. God's a big God. God exposed them the first time. He can do it again. He'll take care of it. Praise God. Later on, this pastor's son-in-law was also a pastor 120, 30 miles from there. And I knew some people that were in their church, and they came and said, you know what about Brother So-and-so? Do you know what he did 30 years ago? And they're just church members. And they start telling me the same, and they heard it from the son-in-law. Oh, my God. Oh, my. One time I was working at a little Piggly Wiggly store, and I was working there, and this man walked in the store. He's an older man, and everybody got quiet. And then after he got away, they said, you know what he did 30 years ago? His interest is 30 years. He went to prison, and he did this, and he did that. And we got to watch him, you know. Praise God. Well, I gave her space to repent of fornication. She repented not. Behold, and he said, unless she repents, then I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works. Now, that's... God wants me to say, the Lord wants me to say this morning, there's some here, or one here, and God's given you space, and he's given you opportunity to repent if you don't. He's, you know, you've got this time to judge yourself. If you won't, then chastisement's coming. Chastisement's coming. And if that won't work, then you'll be condemned with the world. The second part is here, and I'm just, the second part here, if you read in John chapter 6, and I'm not going to read all that, but this is where the Lord says that we are to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And he's talking, he said, I'm the bread come down from heaven, we're to eat of him. And they don't like what he's saying, and they're murmuring, and they're saying, this is a hard saying, who can receive it? The Lord's talking about intimacy. And that's what, here in 1 Corinthians 11, The Lord's Supper is an intimate thing. We are partaking, this is my blood. This cup is my blood in the New Testament. This bread is my body broken for you, and we're to partake of it. We're not Catholic. We don't believe it actually becomes his body and his blood. But it's a symbol of it. And you have to admit that in John chapter 6, one of the longest chapters in the New Testament, not the longest, you have to admit that that's some strange talk about drinking his blood and eating his flesh. But he's talking about intimacy with him. Let me say to you this morning, this whole thing is, it's not about a set of rules and regulations, though there are and has to be. It's a kingdom, the kingdom of God. It has to have laws. Any kingdom has laws. But it's an intimate relationship with him. And the Lord expects us, he said, you've got to do this. When he was washing feet and he got to Peter, and Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no heart or lot with me. Nothing. I'm going to tell you something. If you won't have an intimate relationship with him, he's saying, you have no part or lot with me. Because that's what this is about. He didn't come to get an army that's detached from him to follow him into battle. And we're going to do battle for the Lord. And we're going to build a big church. And we're going to, you know, we're going to pull down the strongholds over cities and all the kind of things people do. Or say they do. He didn't come for that. He came to be intimate with you and me on a personal basis. We are the bride of Christ. This thing's deeper than our minds could ever imagine. It is an intimate relationship with him. And 99, maybe percent of church knows nothing about it. They come, they sing, they preach, they talk, they do good deeds. They're collecting clothes for the poor, they're feeding the hungry, they're doing all these things and know nothing about being intimate with him. And so they said this is a hard saying. Hey, we're in religion now. See, this, who, you read there, after that, they said it's a hard saying, and many of them therefore walked with him no more. His disciples, it says his disciples, they didn't walk with him anymore. Verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. No more. They were happy to be religious. They were happy to get the blessings, you know, the food. See, they followed him from the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Followed him over there. Because you ate and you were filled. And man, this is the greatest restaurant we ever ate at. This is awesome. It did something. And we want more of this. But he said, don't labor for the food that perishes. Don't labor for that, but for the eternal food, that relationship with me, that intimacy with me. And so then he turns, verse 67, and Jesus said to 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is the devil? I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back to that right here. It takes a real man or woman of God to go ahead and operate and do the will of God and move forward knowing that you got some devils in there. Knowing that you do. And not to be scared and frightened and into doing crazy things, but God's in control. God's going to take care of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a time to do something. There's a time to wait on God. Make sure you're led by the Holy Spirit. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So praise God. This morning, that's the two things I believe that the Lord wants me to say to all of us. We have this wonderful opportunity to judge ourselves, watch ourselves, examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith, lest we be reprobated. We have this opportunity. And then if we won't be, then comes the chastening. I don't know where you're at this morning. I know I have to be careful what I say. I don't know who listened to some of this, but I know this family that will not forgive a certain person. And I heard Sister McGee down at Beaumont about delivered to the tormentors, you know, when you won't forgive. And it's like a light came on, and I realized this family has been delivered to the tormentors because they will not forgive. I've never seen a family have so much trouble. I've never seen. I mean, this is one thing after another. Physical, financial, vehicles, injuries. This goes on and on and on and on. And I know why, and I told them why. They got mad at me for telling them. They got angry at me for telling them what was wrong. And blew it off. You know, well, it just keeps going. It just keeps going. So they're being chased by the Lord. You know what they think it is? They think the devil's come against them. God give us sense to know when it's the devil and when it's God.
Right.
The difference. Amen. God help us. I tell you what, if it was the devil and we were a child of God, see, Job, what happened to Job didn't go on forever, y'all.
Amen.
There came an end to that. He said the end of this thing. I mean, God's not doing that. God's not that oppressive, that hard. You learn your lesson, the lessons, okay, it's over. We go to the next one. You just don't keep on and on. If something's keeping on and on and on, you need to find out why it's going on and on and on. What, Lord, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Are you afraid to ask Him? Or do you already know what's there? God's talking to someone. I know that's what He had me. That's what He gave me to tell you. Praise God. When I laid down last night, and this is what the Lord spoke to me, that I was to say to you. Okay, so don't be condemned with the world. Don't be. And then the other thing is intimacy. Say, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. Well, He'll do it. If you'll seek Him, I told you how that God came to me that morning, laying on that floor in that church. But you know why He did? Because for a long, long time after I got off work, I'd stop by that church and go in there and seek God. That's why. If you'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Simple, isn't it? Turn the TV off. Put the computer up, or the phone down. Turn off your devices. Turn them off. Praise God. Give God a chance. Hey, you know, what do you want? What do you think He's going to do? Break in through your cell phone and talk to you? Or maybe during commercials. You know. Examine your life. Am I giving God His place, His time? You know, we sang that this morning. It really touched me. You know, about as a deer panted for the water brook, so my soul longeth after you. That's it right there, is your soul longing after Him. You'll never have an intimate relationship with Him unless there's that longing. That longing. And there's some in here that may be so busy in church work and ministry that you don't long after Him. You don't have time to long. You're busy like Martha. You're busy.
Yes.
You're too busy. Praise God. I tell you, the whole thing is having a relationship with Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we're going to have communion. I don't know what order exactly here, but what I'd like to do is us to partake of communion, and then if anyone needs prayer, okay? And we'll do it that way. I'm a little early on this. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now they will come and serve you, is what I understand. And you hold the cup and the bread till everyone is served. Okay? And then we will partake together. This is a type, a shadow of what the Lord is doing in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're at home, you're watching, and you can find something to use for communion yourself, you're welcome to partake with us on this New Year's Eve day. Praise God. Sister Jane, hallelujah. You'll play something appropriate. I know you will. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Realizing what you're holding in your hands represents a very, very, very holy, holy, holy thing. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Would you just be worshiping? Worship. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Praise God, Father. Oh, my God. Thank you. Oh, yes, this praise and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your body broken for me. Hallelujah. You didn't have to do that. It was your choice. Hallelujah. You submitted yourself. Hallelujah. You were obedient. Praise God. You said, "Not my will, but your will be done." For us, Lord, you did it. For us, hallelujah. Your perfect, holy, blameless body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Broken for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, give us a broken and contrite spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Praise God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can take of the bread. Praise God. Praise God. Just as surely as we broke his bread in our mouth, we broke his body. Our sins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped or drank, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for shedding your blood.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's power in your blood.
Yes.
There's forgiveness in your blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's deliverance in your blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's healing in your blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Everything we need is in our connection to you.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You may take of the juice now. Praise God. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood." Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just thank you. Just love him, praise God. Just love him.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.